you ever felt, we're going to talk about prayer today. How many of you have ever felt like you've prayed about something, but the answer didn't come? Kind of like you're waiting for the IRS, when it's time for the IRS, you're waiting for that check to come in or for it to post and it didn't come. Like, ah, man, it's not here yet. I mean, so I just want to challenge or encourage you again that when you pray, even though you don't see the answer or even though the answer doesn't come, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't allow the symptoms or the lack of the answered prayer to change your mind of who the God we serve is. Has the devil ever tempted you to think something different of who God is because he didn't come through for you? Or you're still sick or you're still under the weather? I mean, the devil will love for us to taint our view of who God is. And God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everyone say forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so no matter what we go through, no matter what the enemy says to us, no matter what our symptoms tell us, do not let it change your view of who God is and who God says he is. And so today we're gonna have communion here in a little bit, but I wanted us to just look at some scriptures and involve prayer. Colossians chapter 4. We preached, or it was taught on Colossians in the morning, and then Shannon covered some this morning in our service. And Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, we're going to read verses 2 through 6. And it says, continue earnestly. Everyone say continue. Now that word, we see it's two words, continue earnestly. But when I looked for the Greek word, it's one word. And I'll share that what that one word is. But continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. Everyone say vigilant. These are some key words here. Being vigilant in it, in what? In prayer. Be vigilant in prayer with thanksgiving. That kind of reminds me of a scripture Shannon always quotes, Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. I think I kind of beat it up a little bit, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Be vigilant in prayer with thanksgiving. Verse 3, meanwhile, pray for us also. So this is a request. This is a encouragement that Paul has given to the people of Colossae. But he says, meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word. Listen, if you're ever thinking about our missionaries, this is a good prayer to pray. Lord, open a door for them. Open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest or reveal to others as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. We're going to talk about who they are. Outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you'll speak to us, reveal to us, Lord. Just again, Lord, it's always good to be reminded of the importance and the precious time of prayer. And Lord, how we are to pray and who we are to be praying for and what we're supposed to be praying for. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So those two words, continue earnestly, in the Greek, is just one word. It's a real long word. It sounds kind of funny, but proskartero. Proskartero means to be earnest towards, to persevere for something. And when you pray, I hope you are persevering for something, not just throwing up a bunch of words because what? You got to pray for the next 5 minutes because that's just a Christian thing to do. To be praying every morning while you're brushing your teeth, eating your Cheerios, or while you're driving. That's just a Christian thing to do. No, what you are praying for, be earnest persevere to what you're praying for. Be constantly diligent, to adhere closely to continually give oneself. So this one says continue earnestly. It's not just, flippant prayer. Just no, continue. Let this be done in you. Let this be seen in you all the time. Be constant, be diligent, adhere closely to this. Give yourself continually to prayer. Then it says be vigilant. That means to keep awake. Anybody ever try to go to sleep and there's somebody that's keeping you awake? Anybody ever experienced that? The kids? Sometimes on Sundays, I got to tell my kids, take it outside. Quit slamming the door because I don't want to be awake. I don't want to wake up. Let me take my little siesta. So, you know, when you're sleeping, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to wake up. But here it says, be vigilant, stay awake, be watchful. Always look for opportunities to pray. And that's an important thing. And so Paul is encouraging the people of Colossae here. And he's telling them, persevere to pray. Be awake. But when you pray, pray with thanksgiving. Now, why is it important that we pray with thanksgiving? We're thankful with that kind of an attitude, being thankful. I mean, when you're praying and you're thankful, you appreciate what God has already done. So that while you're praying, you already know, you're already seeing God answer. Why? Because he's already provided. He's already done great things. God, I'm thankful. I think that's why it says in Philippians 4, let's just go there real quick so I don't beat up that verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious. Don't worry. Don't sweat. Don't whine. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. I think that's really important, with thanksgiving. It's hard to whine and complain when you're thankful. When you are thankful, you're not worried. You're not even thinking about complaining. Why? Because you're thankful. I really appreciate what you've done for me to God today. Thank you, Father, for helping me. Thank you, God. Traffic was a wreck, but it was like you just cleared the path and I went down the street and I got home. Say, thank you, God. Being thankful, when you are thankful, it is difficult for you to complain and whine. So it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. And I think the reason why he says, be anxious for nothing, who are we going to? When we go to pray, I mean, sometimes I think, I'm not sure if I'm the only one, but sometimes I think we forget who we're talking to. We forget we're talking to the one who's placed the stars in the sky. We forget the one who made the trees. We forget the one who made this poison ivy that I got a hold of and it was affecting my... We forget who he is sometimes. And if we forget who he is, we forget what the outcome could become. And still, because it's day four, for me, it's day seven that I actually started itching, but it's day seven. And I'll tell you what, yesterday before I was going to sleep, I was like, God, in the name of, when I wake up, I want to wake up tomorrow morning and all these stuff just be gone, just get off my body in Jesus' name. And I'm looking at my arm and I just want to itch that so bad. But God, I just pray in Jesus' name. And you know, I'm just believing and praying. I'm like, tomorrow would be a great day for a miracle, Lord. Tomorrow will be a great day for a miracle, Lord. No, but you know, just being honest with you. I mean, we have to be thankful and maintain that state of mind of being thankful for what the Lord has already done. So he's saying, pray for us. We got to pray for our missionaries. And this is one of the things that next Saturday, hopefully, if the Lord continues to lead me down this path, we're going to talk about praying for our missionaries, but also financially supporting, but really praying for our missionaries, that God would open the door for them is what Paul asked. Now, notice that Paul didn't say, since we're talking about this, why don't you pray for us also? And why don't you pray for the Lord to provide more food for us, because man, food is scarce around here. He didn't say that. Hey, while we're talking about it, when you talk to God, why don't you ask God that he'll provide a good, stable home or lodging for us? Because it's really bad out here in the insects or the gnats are just crazy. You know, he didn't ask for that. He asked that the door would be open. Door for what? And he says the reason. The door would be open for us for the word, so that they could speak the mystery of Christ, so that they can reveal God, they can reveal Christ to those who are lost. So he's asking, now this is how I pray sometimes for our missionaries. I actually think of our missionaries in Brazil. I actually think of our missionaries in Thailand. Lord, connect them, give them favor, and connect our missionaries with a mayor, with a city official. I mean, making connections like that, doors will fling wide open. In Thailand, now it's Rebecca Johns that we support. it could very well happen. I believe that it could happen, that God can open a door and connect her with some of the workers that work for the king of Thailand that will open a door for her to actually just minister to some of the workers where the king actually lives. And so just begin to just think, I mean, because again, God can do anything. And so Paul is asking for doors to be opened so that they can share the mystery of Christ. Now, it's not mystery like magical, because God don't deal with magic. But what isn't known, Paul is saying that what isn't known shall be made known or will be made known when the doors are open. So when you think about our missionaries, pray, Lord, give them favor in the eyes of mayors, the eyes of city officials, state officials, God, even presidents or kings in the name of Jesus. And so that the doors would be open so that they can share Jesus, because that's the reason why they're there, right? They're there to share the gospel. They're not there so they can have another stamp on their passport. They're not there so that they can come back and show us a lot of the, you know, cool things from their from that country. They're there to actually share the gospel. So we can say, God, protect them. God, help them establish relationships or connections with very important people of that country. God, use them to accomplish your work. I mean, even while Paul was in chains, and he says this, he says, meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. I'm chained up. He's chained up, locked up in prison, and he wants to be able for doors to open up, not so that he can escape. Did you see that? He didn't say, hey, pray and ask God to open doors so that I can get out of there, so I can get out of this place. No, he said, open doors. I'm in chains so that I can make the mystery of Christ known. So even while in chains, Paul wants to manifest Christ to the lost. Does it ever feel like your wherever you work, maybe wherever you live, it is like, you know, danger zone? Wherever you go to school, and you can say, God, even while I'm at school, open doors so that I can manifest Christ to the lost. Wherever you work, it might be so. I mean, I remember working at White Oak Plantation. By 7:15, 7:30, I'm hearing like 10 cuss words by 7:15 or 7:30. It was horrible. I had to like put earplugs in. I'm not even working a weed eater or anything. I had to put earplugs so I wouldn't hear any of that stuff. But the goal was, sometimes I didn't see it, but the goal was for me to reveal Christ to some of these men, some of these people that I worked with. And so we are to walk in wisdom. He says, walk in wisdom before those who are outside. Now, who are the outsiders? Those are the people that don't know Jesus. Those are the people that are your neighbors, your coworkers, your employers, or your employees if you own a business. Those are the people that are on the outside who are lost. And so he says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, the lost, redeeming the time. You know, a lot of people in church, their redeeming of time is he done yet? Because I'm hungry right now. They're redeeming that time, not realizing there is more, such a more precious time that we need to be redeeming, we need to be looking at, we need to be watchful over. The fact that Jesus is going to come. He is coming. I mean, we need to consider the signs of the times, and you probably can remember, man, I've been hearing that since I was 10 years old, signs of the times. Well, there's just more signs to actually point out that the signs of the times are truly here. And so Paul says, walk in wisdom. These verse 6, let your speech always be with grace. Why should our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt? It could attract the ears of others. See, I would love for my words to attract the ears of others that will lead them to the mystery of Christ. Man, shame on me if my words lead people away from Christ. Shame on all of us if our words to other people or about other people turn people away from the mystery of Christ instead of leading them to the mystery of Christ. So this is an important thing that Paul is saying, that our words matter, our words make a difference, and that they would be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I want us to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. He says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly, carefully toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. Now, brotherly love. He says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. Look, I shouldn't be talking to you and writing to you about brotherly love. God's love's already been poured in us as believers. So he tells them, brotherly love, it ought to be coming from you. It ought to be oozing from you. It ought to be coming out of your mouth. It ought to be coming from your actions because God's love is in us. Now, when I was reading this, I thought about the revelation. In Revelation, the letter to the churches, one of the churches was Philadelphia. We have the, Philadelphia, PA, the city of brotherly love. In my Bible, the title for the churches, the letter to the churches of Philadelphia, it recognizes them as the faithful church. They were faithful to have brotherly love. And I thought, Lord, help us to be faithful to have brotherly love to people we don't know. Now, how can we love people that we don't know? By praying and financially supporting our missionaries. There are some missionaries that we know that they're looking for support, and we're already praying and asking God lead us if we should tack them, add them to our list. Lord, lead us, because these people are going to be witnessing and sharing the mystery of Christ to a bunch of other people that we don't know. So just think about that for a minute. I am demonstrating brotherly love by praying and financially supporting missionaries to love people that I don't know. Therefore, it shows that I'm loving them. Does that make any sense? Am I confusing anybody? There's a person in Thailand. I don't know them, but Rebecca Johns is ministering to them, trying to get a connection with them. And so I'm praying and financially supporting Rebecca Johns. What does that mean? That means I care about that person that she's going to meet tomorrow. That's demonstrating love. That's demonstrating that I want them to know the mystery of Christ. And so when he says, but concerning brotherly love, I shouldn't be telling you this. It should be coming out of you already. Now, normally on Sunday night, this is, the faithful few, the faithful ones that come. I challenge you and I encourage you to share with what I'm sharing, share with somebody else. If you want the notes, I'll give you the notes, but share with somebody else. Revelation talks about a letter to the church of Philadelphia. It is the faithful church. It is recognized as the faithful church, and it is the church of brotherly love. Our faith in God ought to grow out more and more. We ought to be growing more and more in our faith. And so when he says walk properly, walk carefully, walk as a living proof, walk carefully towards those who are on the outside, those who are outside, those who are lost. The reason to do this is so that we can lead those who are on the outside coming in. Anybody ever try to get into the house or get into the car? It's pouring, raining, and the person there's like, yeah, and, just got the button pushed down. And you're like, come on, open the door, it's raining, open the door. You ever experienced that? There are people on the outside that don't know Jesus. And a lot of times Christians, they don't realize it. They got the button unlocked. And people on the outside aren't coming to know the mystery of Christ because we got that button pushed down. They're on the outside. And those who are on the outside need to see us walking properly, walking in a way that our life is proof of them. Hey, come on inside. You're on the outside. Come inside. This is the reason to lead those who are on the outside to Christ-like living. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, cautiously, aware. Open your eyes. Don't fall asleep. That's how you ought to walk. Not as fools, but as wise. What? redeeming the time, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I got a quick video, and before I share the video, I just want to say this, this last part. Do not be unwise. Don't think that Jesus is not going to come in your time. It's going to come in someone else's time. It's going to come in the next generation. It's just not ready yet. You don't know. I don't know. But when we look at the signs of the times, it could be today. It could be in the next 5 minutes. It could be before we take communion. It can happen. So let us not be unwise, but let us be wise, redeeming the time. There are people on the outside that they need to come in. And I want to read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers. I don't want you to be ignorant, okay? So, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, the end of days will come, whether we know the time, which we won't, or not, that doesn't matter. But what we do know is that the Lord is coming, and that we must continue to live according to God's word and according to his will in our lives. You see, our prayer support for our missionaries is important. It maintains our focus of what the Great Commission is outside our city. And hopefully it affects the Great Commission inside our city. Our prayer support for our missionaries maintains our appreciation for those who answered the call. Because if God told you to go today, how many of you would get up, sell everything you have, and go? It maintains our appreciation for those who answered God's call to go and share the gospel. Our prayer support for our missionaries is important because it maintains our connection to God's desire that none would perish, so that all would come to repentance. I want to read a little passage from this book that I'm reading, and it mentions about prayer. The basis of real prayer is our contact with God. Prayer is not floating ideas or words off into space. Prayer is not a psychological manipulation. Prayer is not twisting God's arm to get him to do what he already says he will do. I'm going to read that again. Prayer is not twisting God's arm to get him to do what he already says he will do. Do your prayers sometimes sound like that? Like you're trying to convince God to do something he already said he's going to do? Prayer is contact with God. Prayer is a dialogue with God. It's not a monologue, but it's a dialogue with God. This implies that he will hear us. He can hear us if we are the righteous ones in Christ. That's contact. It's real. It's vital. It's meaningful. Many have given up on prayer because they claim it doesn't work. It doesn't work because they gave up. It doesn't work because they took their eyes off of who God is. It doesn't work because they forgot and they thought that God changed. God never changes. They become frustrated because they cannot get God to do their will. That's one reason why many don't pray. After all, prayer is not about getting my will done on earth anyway. It's not about getting my will done on earth through heaven, but more about getting his will done on earth through me.